Father, I hear it growing louder.
Oh, yes.
The song of the redeemed, as the saints of every nation,
hallelujah,
are awakening to sing. From our hearts it comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song.
Hallelujah.
A song to the King.
Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is once again to enter into the house of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts. Because He has done for us what no other could do. He has given you hope. He has redeemed you. Nobody else could do that for you. We were all without hope, Brother Terry. How many of you was hopeless? Sure, every one of us was hopeless. But aren't you so glad that He redeemed you? He saw something of value about you. Therefore, He could redeem you, and He desired to redeem you. I praise Him for that, don't you? I believe He saw Himself, Brother Terry, don't you? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just glad you're here tonight. Let's take just a second. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Brothers, if you'll play a little bit more of that song for us tonight. Brother Harry, sing that last verse. Let them fellowship for just a few minutes. Brother Rob, give me something on this monitor right here. I know.
As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem.
Oh yes, there is.
Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song, a song to my King.
Ooh, let the worshipers rise. Let His sons and His daughters sing. The Lord. Amen. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute, let's look at our prayer request. We want to remember Brother Gary Hall has a kidney infection, running a very high fever. We want to remember our brother in prayer tonight. Brother Byron Palmer sends this in to please remember Mary Elizabeth Buckner in prayer. She's very sick with a virus. Also, Brother Bert Thomason. They're looking, checking him for a possible broken foot. So let's pray for Brother Bert tonight. Also, Brother Brandon Green sends in a couple of requests tonight. Sue Hill, I believe, is his neighbor's aunt. I believe that's right. Anyway, her name is Sue Hill. She's suffering from cancer. And he's asking that we remember that need tonight. And his great aunt is also suffering from cancer. So Brother Brandon Green wants us to remember those needs on their behalf tonight. Brother Baker says to please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is having several health issues. By God's grace, we believe that she will be well. So we just commit her to the Lord tonight. Brother Curtis Hunnell in the Johnson City Medical Center. They're looking at a possible pneumonia fever. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Curtis that the Lord would just be mindful of him. And certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Keith Yance, Brother Daniel, and that entire family as they still going through this time of their life. But we had a tremendous service on Sister Natalie's behalf here Thursday night. And, well, just God's grace and God's mercy. And we believe we're going to see our loved ones again, don't we? We certainly do. We have that hope. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we? You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother John Horniak, would you come tonight, if you would, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things unto God. Brethren, if you play that softly tonight as we pray, let's just pray and believe the Lord tonight for these needs. Appreciate Brother John, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, first and foremost, Lord, we want to tell you how much we love you, Lord, and how much we appreciate you, Father. Lord, what a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to come before you, Lord. And we can come boldly, Lord, as children, Father. And this is a familiar place for us, Lord. We can come right up to you, Lord Jesus. We're not nervous or shaking because, Lord Jesus, we're familiar with you, Lord, and you're familiar with us, Father. And Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord, that we have this communion with you, Lord. And Father, as I hold these requests, Lord, we have many needs, Father God, and that need to be, Lord, addressed. Father, there's sick people here that have desires to be here in the house, Lord Jesus, but there's an illness, Lord. Brother Curtis is up at the hospital, Lord, and Lord, so many others. Brother Dickinson, Lord, he called me this week. His daughter's been diagnosed with breast cancer again, Lord Jesus. Father, there's many, many needs, Lord, many things that the devil would like to tear us down with, Father. But Lord Jesus, we go to the one that made these bodies, that formed these bodies, Lord. And we come before your throne and we ask, Lord, that you would touch each and every one, Lord. You are the great comforter, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're the one who created us, Lord. You're more than able, Father. And we believe with all our hearts, Lord, that you're here right now listening to these very words, Father. And you're able to go to wherever these needs may be, Lord. Whatever, Lord, for comfort, for strength, for health, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that you would just move in a mighty way, Lord. We bring these needs because we know that you're the only one that can answer, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, for this service tonight, Lord. We pray that you would anoint us, anoint our ears, anoint this building, Father God, and each one from the front to the back, Lord. Anoint the musicians, Lord Jesus. May your name be lifted up, Lord. May we be able to praise you, Lord, with all our hearts, Lord. May we, Lord Jesus, bring you honor and glory and praise, Father. We love you so much, Lord. You deserve more than our lips can give, Father, but we want to try, Father God, and meet that high place, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just come down and meet us here. We ask it, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Brother John. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well tonight. Let's sing a song. I can almost see the lights of that city. I believe they're coming into view, don't you? Praise the Lord. Brother, let's see here. What does this note say? We want to welcome our new arrival, Zoe Marie Roncalli, weighing 10 pounds. So glad she is healthy and beautiful. Jason and Lisa Roncalli send that in. So may the Lord bless that child and that family tonight. Let's sing it. I can almost see the lights of that city. Sing us a verse and we'll help you on the course.
Mr. Song Leader.
John tells of the city that he saw coming down.
Oh, yes, he did.
Where no sorrow or death will be known. That someday to bear, and old Satan tries to dim my view. I just look unto Jesus. He's always standing close by, and once again His great light shines.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing just a little bit of this song tonight. I've got so much to thank Him for. How about you tonight? You got a lot to praise Him about. You got a lot to be thankful for. Let's sing a little bit of it tonight if you will. And I've got so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me.
has done for me, I know I'm unworthy.
Praise. You love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. My goodness. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. What He means to us tonight, we'll never praise Him too much. That's for sure. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of songs. Sister Gerald, if you come give us a song tonight. Then I believe Brother Caleb, I don't know exactly how they have that put together, but Brother Caleb Adkins, maybe some folks are going to help him. I don't know exactly how, but we're just looking forward to that tonight. So let's enjoy a couple of songs. We'll go right on into the service. Brother Kevin Cassador is going to be speaking for us tonight. All the way from, where's he from? Oklahoma? Arizona? I know he's not Gap Creek. I do know that. So he's here tonight, going to be speaking for us. And we're just looking forward to what God has for us. Let's enjoy Sister Gerald as she sings tonight.
On some morning when I stand in God's wonderful city, where the light of heaven's glory will never grow dim. When I shake hands with my Savior, who gave me life eternal, I'd like to talk it over with Him. I can't not
In the view from the mountains, there's a story to be told. In the crashing of the ocean, there's a power that no man can ever hold. All the stars in the heavens decorate your handiwork, and like a mighty choir, we've come to celebrate your word. Don't let me miss the glory, don't let me miss the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. Don't let me miss the grand design. Lightning and the thunder, open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory. in the cry of a baby, in the laughter of love, in the dance of the faithful, you will find the greatness of my God above. In the prayer of the righteous, in the beauty of your grace, in a brand new morning's mercy, all your memory of my sin have been erased. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. Don't let me miss the grand design. The lightning and the thunder, open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. Don't let me miss the grand design. The lightning and the thunder, open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the glory.
Believe we're going to. I think we're predestinated to be a part of that glory, aren't we? What God has had in His mind before the world began. What a privileged people we are tonight to be included in that great thing. Any of you folks ever heard an Apache preach before? An Apache? No? Anybody ever heard an Apache Indian preach before? You're fixing to. Brother Kevin Kessler has been with us several times, and he's never spoke for us. So I thought while he was here, we'd just use him, let the Lord speak to us tonight. So we're going to ask our brother if he'll just come. He'll be speaking for us tonight, and we'll just open our hearts to the Lord. And me and Brother Darrell and Carol was out there with him some time back. Had a little rededication of their church there, and had such a wonderful time. And same church Brother Brandon preached at many, many years ago. And to see someone still going on with that same message right there on the reservation where God had done so many miracles and visiting them, and it's just wonderful to see. So we're happy to have our brother with us tonight. We want him to just come and obey the Lord, and you give him a Happy Valley warm welcome. Wear him out.
Praise the Lord. There you go. Amen. Well, how many love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
How many's happy to be in the house of God?
Amen.
How many's happy to be the church of God?
Amen.
Amen. We know that the Bible says, know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful privilege it is to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. And certainly greet everybody this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank Brother Donnie for the invitation to come and speak tonight. And sure do appreciate everything that Brother Donnie and the church here has done for us and helping us in the remodeling of our little church there. And Brother Darrell's been down and spoke for us several times, and he's a
very good friend of mine. Love and appreciate Brother Darrell and Brother Donnie and all of you here and those that have prayed. And by God's grace, we're there pressing the battle. Amen. And we're just happy to be a part of the family of God. Amen. And so thankful to be here tonight. They were asking me how I was enjoying the trip out here to Tennessee. We've been here. I came in Monday. My wife has been here for a week before I came. And I said it was real good, and it was good to see some green for a change. Some green grass and some green trees. You just don't get that very often in Arizona. And those of you that are from Arizona or have been there know what I'm talking about. And kind of dry this time of the year, but amen. So thankful for God's blessings anyhow. Amen. And good to see everybody here and some familiar faces. And sure do appreciate you tonight. And we're just so thankful and so appreciate all the Lord has done. And He's the guest of honor tonight. Is that right? Amen. It is, as long as two or three are gathered in His name, that's all that matters. Amen. As long as He's here, we can have church tonight. If He's not here, we better get to praying and invite Him. Because He'll go where He's invited, but He'll stay wherever He's welcome at. Amen. But praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you would turn with me to the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 16. I'd like to read a little text tonight from Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse number 13, and read down to about verse 20. And by the help of the Holy Spirit tonight, I want to preach on a subject of tested by the Word. St. Matthew 16, a familiar scripture to many of us here. Verse number 13 is where we'll start from tonight. It says here, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. If we could bow our heads now and go to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to be here tonight in the house of the Lord and to be seated together with the saints of God of like precious faith, Lord. And Father, just to fellowship around Your Word tonight, Lord. And more importantly, Lord, to be in fellowship with You tonight. Father, that's the most important thing that we have, that we need in this time, Lord, is to be in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, Lord. And we come tonight, Lord, not to see or to be seen, Father. Lord, but we come to worship You and to love You, Lord. And that we could feast upon this heavenly manna, Lord. This spiritual food in due season, God, that'll draw us closer to You, Lord. And that'll strengthen us, Father, and bring us to the realization of the hour in which we live, Lord. And who You have called us to be, Father. And Lord, we humbly surrender to You now as we wait upon the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Father, as Your humble servant, I ask that You would move me aside and help me, Lord, not to be a hindrance unto the Spirit tonight. But I pray, Lord, that You'd come and speak to us tonight out of Your Word, Father. May You anoint my lips of clay to speak the truth and the truth alone, Father. And I pray that we receive it by faith, Lord, and the Holy Spirit would quicken it to our hearts, that we could leave this place, Lord, refreshed and revived and rejuvenated by Your Word tonight, Lord. How we have a desperate need for You, Father, and we surrender it all to You just now as we give You the honor, the glory, and all the praises that You alone are worthy to receive. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray, and we all said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you this evening. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. It's good to be here in the house of God tonight. Thank you, sir. And sir, certainly happy to be with you all this evening. As Brother Donnie said, I'm from the San Carlos Apache Reservation out in Arizona. And the church itself has been there. If I could just give you a little testimony of who I am, where I'm from, and just the church has been there probably from the mid-50s. My grandfather started the church. His name was Hanson Bendel, and he pastored the church there after He was saved under the Assembly of God Church, and from the Assembly of God Church heard of Brother Branham and the message of the hour when Brother Branham came to the reservation the first time there in about the mid-50s. And from then on, he began to follow, you know, his teachings. And every time that Brother Branham would come by to either Tucson or Phoenix, and he'd make the trip about 2.5 hours to drive down and take his family in the car. My mom and aunts tell me the story. They remember getting in the car. They'd go drive down to the city and hear Brother Branham preach. And many of the Apaches, as you probably heard some on tape, have been through the prayer lines. And one of the messages that Brother Branham preaches, God's provided way of dealing with sin. If I'm not mistaken, 55 or somewhere right in there, he preaches a message, and about halfway through it, he says, I'm going to direct this message now to the Apache people. And he has an interpreter come up, and that brother there was named Brother Guy Evans. He was someone that was very well known there in San Carlos, and he interpreted for Brother Branham in that particular message there. My grandfather began to follow the message and began to believe it and began to teach it. Came out of the Assembly of God Church. And as he was in one of Brother Branham's prayer lines, Brother Branham told him he needed to go back and start a work on his own reservation. And so that's how my grandfather started the church. And it was just a little bitty, just a real small room. You might have seen some pictures of it. I know there's some pictures out there and of that building where Brother Branham's preaching. And that front door that you see behind him, the door and the two windows, that's the same front door that we have there. It's still standing today. It's just been covered over with stucco. Well, that's the same church that was there. And Brother Branham come back again, I think it was in 55 in February. And that's when those pictures was taken. And that was the church that we're at today. And so the church has been there and has went through a lot of trials, went through a lot of persecutions. There was a pastor there that was before me who got away from the message. And he came to the point where he said he didn't want nothing to do with it. He didn't want no tapes, no books, nothing at all to do with the message in the church. And he took it out of the church. And when that happened, the church really struggled for a while there, for a few years. Almost 10 years they had struggled and during that time of trial. Many had left, found other message churches to attend out different places in Arizona. And by that time, I was just a little boy, maybe about 12 years old or so around that time. But I had given my heart to the Lord in a little house meeting when I was about that age. And a brother who had believed the message and who had come down and visited the reservation, but he was not welcome because of the pastor that was there. So we met in a little house, and he preached a sermon there. And I can honestly tell you what I could remember what he preached. I don't remember what his subject was, what his sermon was that night. All I know is I sat there in that house that night on a couch in the back row next to a little bird that was sitting inside of a cage. I sat there that night, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. And I sat there in tears, and I knew that God was calling me. And as soon as he was done preaching, I couldn't help but go up there in tears in my eyes. I said, I need to give my heart to the Lord. I might have been raised in church, but that didn't mean nothing. I might have been brought to church and mom and dad dragged me to church, but that didn't mean nothing to God. I needed my own experience. That night I gave my heart to the Lord. Just a few years after that, I was called to preach and called into the ministry. And boy, I tell you what, as a young age, you hear that, and you know, and I thought, well, okay. Well, if I'm going to be a preacher, I'll probably be over 30 years old. I'd have my own family. I'll already be married. I'll already have children. And I already know all about it. That's what I was thinking, right? Well, God has different plans. Amen. The Bible said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. And so by the time I was a month away from turning 18 years old, the pastor that was there resigned. He said, I'm turning this church back over to the property owner, which would have been my grandmother. And said, she can do whatever she wants to do with the church, but I'm leaving, he said. So he packed up his little group and they left, and they turned the church back over to my grandmother. And so for 2 months, the church was closed down. And we got together, the few that were still there, faithful, holding on to this message and loving and serving the Lord. We got together in the house, my grandmother's house, one night to have a meeting of what was going to happen with the church. Somebody said, well, maybe we can just play tapes. The other person said, well, maybe we can invite visiting ministers to come in every Sunday, and every week we'll have a service on the weekends. And so different ideas was given out until a brother remembered and said, hey, you know, Brother Kevin was called to preach, and, you know, he gave his heart to the Lord. We saw the Lord fill him with the Holy Ghost. He said, why don't we have church one Sunday morning, and let's just see how it goes. And said, well, that sounds like a good idea. So before we ended the meeting, we all stood up. We got together in a circle. Most most of it was family. We joined hands together and we began to pray. We began to cry out to the Lord. And our prayer was that God's perfect will be done. And as we began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord fell down in the house. People began to worship. People began to cry out to the Lord. Just such a sweet presence came into that house as we began to pray for God's perfect will. And that Sunday morning we had church. And that was back in 2003 of November, I believe it was, in 2003. And like I said, I was just a month away from being 18 years old. And we had church and the Lord really blessed us. So we said, well, let's have it again next Sunday. So we had service again next Sunday. And then we decided, well, let's have a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. And here we are 8 years later. By God's amazing grace, we're still pressing the battle. I told the people many times, I said, you know, God could have sent, He could have sent a prophet to the Sioux Reservation. He could have sent him down over there to the Cherokee Reservation. He could have sent anywhere else. But he said, I told him, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe that he came to the reservation two times for nothing. I said, I believe there's seed out here. I believe God has an Apache bride. And out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people, God has chosen His bride. And I said, by God's grace, let's do what we can to be a lighthouse and shine the light of Jesus Christ, that souls may come, be converted and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that we can leave this world. Amen. Praise God. So by God's grace, amen, by God's amazing grace, the church is still there. We're a little congregation. We have maybe about 30 people there, but we've seen some new faces. The Lord's kind of dealing with me on some outreach services. I've been talking to Brother Darrell about some of them. We had one back in May, and we saw some new faces come around. I just feel like the Lord has something there in store. So if you just remember to pray for us and the little church there, they love the Lord and they've overcome many obstacles. You know, the church being taken away from them, false doctrines coming in, trying to discourage and break apart. But you know, like the scripture we read tonight, upon this rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, He said, I'll build my church. And when the church is built upon that solid rock, the gates of hell, they might fight against it. They might try to bring discouragement. They might try to weigh us down. The devil might try to sneak in there with deception. But it's too late. We've already recognized who we are. We recognize who we belong to. And upon that rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, when the church is built upon that, we have a promise. We are heirs to a promise that they will never prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. So we give all the honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so thankful that the Lord opened our blinded eyes and come to the light of the Word. Amen. The light for our hour. I tell you what, I love this message with all my heart, and I believe this message with all my heart. Just like I heard a brother say one time, I said, I believe it so much, I believe the ones I haven't even heard yet. Amen. And it's not because somebody talked me into it. It's not because somebody said, hey, Brother Branham was a prophet. It's because I've seen the vindication of Jesus Christ. Brother, we're not just following a fairy tale or a story or a superstition. What we're following tonight is an absolute vindicated message of the hour. There might be other people trying to proclaim that they are the fulfillment of Malachi 4, but I tell you what, there's only been one man that had the vindication of God behind it. And brother, that's the voice that I want to hear, and recognize that voice because He'll lead me to my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. But praise God. So it's so good to be here, and we're just thankful for everything the Lord has done. Now quickly, I don't want to hold you too long tonight, but in the scripture we read here tonight, we find a very familiar story of Peter and Jesus. And Jesus asking Peter and his disciples about what the people around town are talking to him, talking about. He said, what are the people saying about me? You're out there and you've gone down to the city and down in the courts and down in the shopping center. What are they talking about? What are they saying about this man Jesus of Nazareth? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, well, some say that you might be a prophet, you know, like John the Baptist, like Jeremiah or Elijah, one of them. He said, but who do you say that I am? What do you say? Okay, you told me what the people are saying and what everybody else is saying around us. But notice, it's not important what the other people are saying. It's important on what you think tonight. Brother, the ball is in your court tonight. It's not about listening to what other people say or the doubters or the skeptics or the unbelievers. They might have theories. They might have speculation. But I got something more than that tonight. Who do you say that I am? And Peter thinks about it a while and says, well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou. You are blessed. Why? Because you did not receive that by flesh and blood. You did not sit down with your glasses and your books and study it and figure out that I am Jesus. But what you have, Peter, is a revelation. Brother, that's what matters tonight. Do you have a revelation? Do you know in whom you have believed in tonight? Brother, a revelation will anchor you down into God's Word. And when you're anchored by a revelation, there ain't no devil in hell that can move you away from it. Why? Because you received it by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost revealed it to you. And brother, no devil in hell can talk you out of it if you've been born into this. Hallelujah. Man, it's going to be easy to preach tonight. Brother, that's the problem with many people. They're not born into it. They've been talked into it. They've been told this the truth. Somebody talked them into it. But brother, I don't want to talk anybody into believing this tonight. Brother, that's what many people do. They talk too much. Oh, brother, they talk more than they pray. Hello now. Didn't Brother Bram say you can sing too much and preach too much and eat too much and talk too much? But you can never pray too much. Hello, somebody. You can never pray too much. Is that right? If I talk you into it, somebody's going to talk you out of it. You can't be in this tonight because somebody talked you into it. You got to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal it. Amen. It was not your own wisdom. It was not your own human understanding. Because we know that the Bible says, Paul taught us, that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They're taught to us and made known to us by the Holy Ghost. That's why Paul deals a whole lot in Corinthians about how we must not be carnally minded, but we must be spiritually minded. If you sit down with your own carnal mind, open up the message and open up the Word of God and try to figure it out, you're going to make a mess of things. That's what many people have already done. They made a mess with it. Why? Because they try to figure it out by their own carnal understanding instead of letting God be God. Brother, God did not send us the Word so we can sit here and try to interpret it and figure out which part we want to believe or not. Brother, God sent us His Word so we can believe it by faith. God interprets His Word how? By bringing it to pass. Hello, somebody. Amen. He said, let there be light. That didn't need no interpretation. Amen. But God interpreted His Word by bringing it to pass. Amen. He sent us to do what? Only believe. Only believe. Because there's no prophecy of the Scripture. There's of any private interpretation. God don't need an interpreter. God don't need some high educated theologian. Is that right? Oh, I've been so educated, I've been so indoctrinated, I can explain God. No, you can't. You might think you can with your own human wisdom and your own carnal understanding. But unless you pray, unless you get down on your knees and learn to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and humbly, sweetly surrender and submit yourself to God and let the Holy Spirit come and bring about a revelation in your heart that you know in whom you have believed in. That's what matters. Is that right? Before I go further, let me say something about revelation. Because many people say, oh, I got a revelation. It is so contrary to God's Word. The Holy Spirit will never give you a revelation that's contrary to His Word. You might say, the Spirit revealed it to me that it's this and this and this. Well, it might be a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Everything we hear, everything we believe. Somebody say, I had a dream. I had a vision. So and so said this. Anything that you hear must filter through this Bible. Is that right? I told the church this the other day. I said, you ought to take this Bible and it needs to be a shield in front of your heart. And anything that comes your way before you believe it, before you say, I'm going to follow it and I'm going to preach it and I'm going to believe it, it must go through this Bible first and it must filter through. If it doesn't filter through, if it gets tangled up, brother, throw it out. Cast it down. It's of the enemy. It's of Satan. You're sent to believe God's holy word and that alone. Praise His name. Flesh and blood can't reveal it. Amen. Oh, praise God, Simon, he says. Praise the Lord, Peter. You have a revelation, right? Brother Bram taught us what that was. He said it was a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. And upon that rock of revelation, Amen. Because the Father which is in heaven, and we know that God is a spirit. Right? And that God in heaven, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, gave Peter this revelation. That this man, who when you look at him, looked like the other men, right? I mean, he had a body. He prayed and preached so hard that he got in a boat as he went across the sea there, and he got tired, he slept. Hello? He felt virtue come out of his body. He got a little bit weak. Come on, somebody. He was a man. And when you look at him, there was no great big angelic wings and angels with harps following him around. Is that right? That's why he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? But in his reply, he didn't say that you are Jesus, the Son of Man. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation of who that was speaking to him, who that was before him that was talking to him and walking with him and would sleep with him and eat with him and fellowship with him. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And that's the rock of the revelation of who that was. Amen. Oh, praise God. Peter knew who that was doing the talking. Amen. He said, that's not just a man. That's not just some self-proclaimed prophet. Hello now. It's not some self-proclaimed, Lord, listen to me, I'm a prophet of the Lord, I do this, this, and this. Brother, we know how to test the prophets, don't we? We test it with the Word. Amen. If I, the Lord, send you a prophet, I will speak to him in dreams and visions. And if what he says comes to pass, hear him. He's of me. But if it don't come to pass, then you got to watch out. Is that right? But see, Peter had that revelation of who that was speaking to him. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that rock will the church be built. Upon that revelation. This is why Brother Bram said that revelation means more to the church than what we realize sometimes. He said we don't dig down deep enough. We don't pray enough to get in the spirit of revelation. Right? Now remember, the right kind of revelation, you see. Brother, we're not interested in preaching in the twilight zone. I hear them all the time preaching in the twilight zone. I don't want that. I wanted this word right here. Let's get back down to the word. Let's get back down to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, and I don't say this for myself. I say this for the glory of God. But the biggest compliment I was ever paid in my ministry was when I come preaching in a convention there in Tucson, and I walked out there, and a brother come up to me and shook my hand and said, thank you, Brother Kevin, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, all the doctrines and man-made ideas of what they think it is, it all gets old. He said, but what you preach there, the simplicity of God's word, he said, that'll never get old. Thank you. He said, my soul hungers for that. Brother, that's what we need today. Brother, all those other things will get old. They'll get tired and old, but brother, the Word of God never gets old. It's fresh, it's new every morning. Amen. I'm so thankful for His Word. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. You know the rest of the story. But now let's go on a little bit further now. So we understand here that Peter had a revelation, right? Peter had a revelation of who this man Jesus was. And because he had a revelation revealed to him by the Spirit of God, he was able to believe whatever that man said. Because he recognized that was not just a man, that was the Son of God. Are you following me tonight? Don't let it go over your head now. He had a revelation. Now that was the Son of the living God. Now let's go and turn in your Bibles real quick to the book of St. John. And in John chapter number 6, we'll find out that, okay, he had a revelation, and praise God for those mountaintop experiences, right? I mean, everybody loves the mountaintop experiences. When God is blessing us, and man, we're just on fire for God, and we're excited, and everything just, man, we're just so blessed and just want to tell everybody about it. But what about the time when we go through trials? What about the time that we're tested? Hello, somebody. Is that right? That's where character is made. And we know that Jesus is coming back for a bride with character. Hello? Godly character that we cannot get unless we have these trials and these testings and these tribulations and persecutions that arise. But notice here now, so Peter has that mountaintop experience, right? He's got a revelation and Jesus blesses him and man, everything is so good. But now let's go to St. John 6. And let's find out what happens here. In verse number 52, he says this. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, let me stop here for just a moment. This is the time, that, if you're familiar with, that Jesus is proclaiming that he is the bread of life. Right? Jesus just made that proclamation, I am the bread of life. When he said that, it offended the whole church. Hello? I mean, they got all upset and bothered by that one. Is that right? All these theologians and all these religious educated high priests. And he said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, then you have no life in you. Man, he just drove it deeper, didn't he? He's not making any friends at all in this preaching here. He offends them, first of all, by saying he's the bread of life. Now he is telling them that unless they eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, they have no life. That's what he said. Hello? Amen. Look at verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is what? Meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that will eat of this bread shall live forever. Now they're making a big deal about, oh, Jesus, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. He said, sure they did, and they're everyone dead today. Yeah, right, because you can't live on experience that's gone by. Hello, Brother Bam said, if a man is cold, you can't show him a picture of a fire because a man can get warm by a painted fire. Hello, a man cannot get warm by a painted fire. He needs the real thing. Hello. And these things he said as he taught, right? As he taught in Capernaum. Look what he says, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? He said, man, that's some hard preaching there. That's some hard teaching. Who can believe that? That you mean to tell me that this man wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and unless we do, we have no life? That sounds kind of strange. That sounds like a cult. That man sounds like a vampire. He wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. What could he mean by that? Whatever could he mean by that? Man, that's hard preaching. Who can believe it? Who can receive it? Let's read on. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself, right, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Oh, this is good now. Just hold on. Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit. The Spirit. Like what was revealed to Peter. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, the carnal mind, the carnal fleshly understanding profiteth nothing. And the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Brother, here's this man Jesus in the face of all these religious leaders preaching the word of God in authority and power, and saying, does this offend you? Does this bother you? Brother, what I'm saying to you is the word is spirit and life. Verse 64, he says, but there are some of you that believe not. Hello? Some of you don't believe. Some always got trouble with what the preacher's preaching about. Can't be fed by anybody. Is that right? Goes to church with a pen and notebook so they can write down all the things they disagree about. Can't believe nothing. Offended at everything they say. Is that right? I tell my church all the time the story of the cat. How many remember that? Where the man's sitting on the chair and he's petting the cat, right? And he's petting it the wrong way. He's petting it from the tail to the head against his fur. And someone say, hey, don't you know the cat don't like to be petted that way? The man simply says, well, if the cat don't like it, the cat can turn around. I'm going to keep doing the same thing that I'm doing. And if you don't like it, you can turn around. I told the church, if the word of God offends you, why don't you get right with God and it won't offend you no more? Does this offend you? He said. Are you bothered by this? Are you bothered that your Lord and Savior said you must eat His flesh and drink His blood? Remember, it wasn't until the Apostle Paul come along to explain what communion was all about. They didn't know this meant communion. They had no idea. Paul hadn't come yet. He hadn't given the revelation of this mystery just yet. So keep that in your mind. It wasn't explained what communion was yet, but yet he preached it because it was the truth of his word. And some of them did not believe, and Jesus knew from the beginning. Amen. From the beginning. You know how the book of Jude says that there's some that have been from before are ordained to condemnation? It's not for everybody. Right? That's why I'm not about talking everybody into believing what I believe. Hello now. And right, I'm not about talking to everybody receiving this message first off, right off the bat. Let's get them to Jesus Christ. Let's get them to the born again experience. Let's get them to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And let the Holy Ghost lead us and guide us into all truth. He knew who it was from the beginning that would not believe, because hey, there's three types of believers in every church. Make believer, unbeliever, and a real believer. I want to be identified with a real believer tonight. How about you? You want to be a real believer tonight? I say, Lord, I want to find my identification. Not with the critics, not with the skeptics, but with the believers. Amen. Isn't that what we are? Message believers. Hello. Then let's start believing. Amen. Verse 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Amen. From that time, look what happened. After that message, after that service that morning, after he was done preaching, from that time, many, not just one or two, not just a couple here and a couple there, they were many. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Sad to see them reject truth, isn't it? Sad to see them turn away from the man that could give them life. And go back to their dogmas, go back to their creeds, and go back to their feel-good messages. Is that right? Is all like, oh, God loves everybody, He's just concerned about my heart. I can live like the world, cuss like the world, and be a part of the world, and God loves everybody. Went back, brother, it's prophecy in the scripture, the dog to his vomit again, and a hog to his wallowing in the mire. Hello, they went back and followed Jesus no more. Because of that hard preaching. But look what he said. Then Jesus said unto the 12, to his 12 disciples, he said, will you also go away? Will you leave me as well? Are you going to turn away and follow me no more because of what I preached, because of what I said? Will you no longer be my friend? Will you no longer be my companion? Will you walk away and reject me as many others have? Oh, I like Simon Peter's answer. Oh, I just love what he says. I say, Lord, let this be my prayer all the time. Because Simon Peter... Who was it? Simon Peter. The same one who had the revelation that we just read about a little while ago. That same man that Jesus said he had a revelation. A revelation of what? Who that was talking? Who that was preaching? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? There's nowhere else to go. There's no one else to follow. Why? Because thou hast the words of eternal life.
Lord Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life. Brother, I could turn around and reject Christ, but where else could I go? No one else has what my Lord gave to me. No one else can produce the satisfaction and the joy and the peace that the Holy Ghost produces. You can't find this eternal life anywhere else. Buddha can't give it to you. Muhammad can't give it to you. Some kind of hippie feel-good religion can't give it to you. Hello, somebody. Go ahead and turn around, become a Baptist, become a Catholic, become a Lutheran, go back into Pentecost, but they can't give to you what God gave to us through the message of the hour. Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. And we believe, he says. Not do we just believe, but we are sure. We believe you, Lord Jesus. And we're also sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you alone are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh man, I wish I could have been there that day when everybody walked out of the church, slammed the door on Jesus, walked away from him, all because they did not understand what he meant by how that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. By something they didn't understand. You see, people are walking away too quickly from things that they don't understand. Why don't you pray about it a while? Why don't you give it to the Lord? Why don't you get on your knees and be converted by the Holy Ghost? And brother, instead of being worried about what's right and wrong, why don't you get your heart right with God and get filled with the Holy Ghost? Why don't you get born again? Why don't you get saved? And brother, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Ghost guide you. Let the Holy Ghost reveal to you what is the truth of His Word. The Holy Ghost settles all the doubts. Now the flesh might doubt. Is that right? Because we know the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. The flesh might want to have doubts. The flesh might want to have discouragements. The flesh might want to feel sorry for ourselves. But brother, that's when the Holy Ghost comes in. This is why it's so important to be converted by the Holy Spirit. Because that is our conversion. You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. And that what the prophet of God taught us? As a matter of fact, he used Peter here. How he was out there preaching, healing the sick, signs and wonders. And Jesus told them, Peter, after you are converted, then go back and strengthen your brothers. After you get your conversion. You know why? Because conversion brought that life to him. Amen. The conversion gave him power. The conversion gave him boldness. The conversion gave him what he needed to settle all the doubts. But in this time, when they were tested by the Word. Hello? Tested by the Word. Maybe some of their friends were mixed in the bunch that walked away. You ever think about that? Maybe their own family. Maybe their cousins. Maybe their brothers and sisters. Maybe their mom and dad was in that group that followed, that walked away. That used to follow Jesus, used to go to church, used to love this Word, used to love the message with all their heart, and they turn away and follow Jesus no more. What does that mean for you? Is that right? Brother, if you're without conversion, you might be tempted to follow the same way. Kind of like how Lot's wife, that right? Her heart was still in the world. They walked away. God said, don't turn around, but she did because she heard the crying and the wallowing of her friends. She wanted to see what was going on. She turned back. What happened? She turned in a pillar of salt. Brother, there's nothing back there for you. There's nothing for you to turn back to. There's nowhere else to go. Just keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ and keep pressing on by God's grace. God is so merciful to us that He didn't just throw us in the world and say, figure it all out yourself. He didn't do that to us, did He? He said, I will not leave you comfortless, my children. I will not leave you comfortless, but I myself, he said, will come to you. I will send my Spirit. And what's the Holy Spirit? Not another God. Hello. The same God. The same power. I like how Brother Bram says it in the deity of Jesus Christ. He said the same power that spoke the universe into existence is the same Spirit that lives in the people that got the Holy Ghost. How many got the Holy Ghost tonight? The same power that said let there be and there was. The same power that hung the stars and the universe and the planets and all the galaxies. That same God with that same power dwells in the people that are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the same God. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not just throw you in there and say fend for yourself. But I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And what is He going to do? What's the job of the Holy Ghost to us? What is one of the things that He'll do for us? One of the most important things. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. That's the experience that we need today. That's the experience that many of our young people need today. Brother, when God got a hold of my life, and He filled me with the Holy Ghost one night in church as I went down to the altar. And when I got down there, my intentions was to get down there and pray for my auntie who was in the hospital on life support. But when I got down there at that altar that night, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to pray for yourself. Little did I know, I was in a worse condition than she was. I might have been healthy, I might have been living, I might not have been laid up in a hospital bed, but I was in a worse condition. Because without Jesus, without the Holy Ghost, I had no life. And the Lord said, you must pray for yourself. And as I did, God began to change my life and fill me with the Holy Ghost. And when I got up from that experience, I was a new person. I was changed by the grace of God. The old things were passed away and all things became new. Was I perfect from that point on? Absolutely not. I was the furthest thing from it. Did I never make mistakes after that? Absolutely not. I made lots of mistakes. I had lots of failures. I rebelled. I disobeyed God many of the time. I've fallen short of His glory. Just because I received the Holy Ghost didn't mean that I was sinless. Hello? Is that right? Just meant I was forgiven. It just meant that my desires was changed. I might have tried to get away from God, but I couldn't be satisfied in the world. I may have tried to put myself in places I didn't belong, but I couldn't find no peace. And immediately I had to get out and I had to run back to Christ. Why? He changed my heart and put a Holy Spirit inside of me. That's why you can't talk me out of it. Amen. You can't make me deny my Lord and Savior. You can't make me deny this message, brother. I believe with all my heart. Because of an experience. Not because I'm brainwashed. Like when people back in my home tell me. So you're brainwashed, they tell us. I'm sure you probably went through some of that yourselves. Friends, family, neighbors, people that don't understand what you believe. Say you're all locked up in a cult. Say you're following a dead man saying that you're brainwashed. I say, yes, I am, because my brain needs to be washed. I need a brainwashing. Is that right? That's what's wrong with many people. Your brains hadn't been washed yet. That's why you believe all the tommy rot and the filth that crosses your mind. You give chance. You open your ears to that. And yet you close it to God's holy word. There's something wrong. You need a conversion in your heart. If we had our brain washed, we wouldn't have time to think of all the filth of this world. We wouldn't be concerned about fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. There'd be a change. Hello? Amen. Somebody say, I want to know if I got the Holy Ghost. Well, it brings that it removes all that doubt. Is that right? Brother, how can you light a man on fire and him sit still? Anybody ever been burned before? I'm sure if your hand caught on fire, you wouldn't say, oh my, excuse me, my hand's on fire. I'll be right back. I'm going to go find something to put this out with. Don't leave now. I still want to finish that conversation. I'll be right back now. Let me go find some water to put this fire out. Hello? I'm so glad to have a heartfelt religion tonight. I'm so glad that when God lights our soul on fire, brother, you might shout, you might dance, you might jump, that's all right. But brother, when it comes down to it, when your feet hit the ground, you'll still be walking the straight and narrow way. And that's what matters. That's the life that we need in the church today that'll help keep us on the straight and narrow way. Amen. That'll produce the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you're built upon that, the gates of hell can't prevail. You're anchored. You're settled. Is that right? You're established. You're strengthened. The Bible says that God is able to complete And I like that because God doesn't leave things halfway done. God doesn't start something and just leave it and say, well, I'm too busy, I'll come back to that later. That's what we do. Is that right? But when God starts a project, He sees it through all the way to the end. If He begins to mold something and shape something, He's going to see it through all the way until the end of it. Until it fulfills the desire that God has purposed it for. He'll see it through all the way to the end. This is why the Bible says that God is able. How many knows God is able? God is able to complete the work that He started in you. You didn't save yourself. Is that right? You didn't find Jesus. You didn't just accidentally stumble across the message. Hello? You didn't just accidentally hear Mama Eagle screaming your name. Hello? I'm a son of God. I don't believe in coincidences. Rather, the footsteps of the righteous are ordained by God. If He could tell the prophet Jeremiah that before you were in your mother's womb, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet unto my people. Brother, so is it for every believer in Christ Jesus today. You've been foreordained by God. That's one of those things you say, take that, devil. Brother, how many times do we let Him whip us? How many times do we let Him put His discouragement on us? Is that right? How many times when He knocks at our door with a box of rattlesnakes, we open up to see who it is? Brother, don't even open up the door. You give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. Brother, oh, praise God. Out of all the discouragement, out of all the filth and the trash He tries to put over us, brother, it's too late. We know who we are tonight. Amen. We know what God has called us to be, a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, a peculiar people of God. Is that right? His chosen people. So that we might believe His word by faith. Is that right? And that not just believe it and say, oh, I believe it because somebody said it's right and I should believe it. Oh, the pastor, he preached a real moving, inspiring message, and so I believe it for that. No, we got to be believing it because the Holy Ghost came to you personally and made Himself known to you. If you're sitting here tonight and you never had that experience, don't leave this church. Don't walk out those doors until you've had that experience where Christ Jesus has come down and made Himself known to you in a personal way, and that you believe Him, not because somebody said it, but because He came and embraced you in His arms of love and mercy, because He made Himself known to you. And there, brother, that settles all the questions and the doubt. It anchors you into that love of God. Amen. See, Peter had that revelation, or the Spirit of God moved upon him, and he had that revelation. And brother, it was something that he might not have been able to explain what Jesus meant here when He said you must eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. But it didn't matter if he could explain it or not. Is that right? He wasn't concerned about explaining it all away. Hello, somebody. Is that right? He had a revelation of who it was preaching. Hello? He had a revelation of who it was God sent to him. And because he had that revelation, it anchored him. Hallelujah. It anchored him that when Jesus preached this, he said, Lord, I could leave, but where else could I go? You alone. Not the Pharisee, not the Sadducee, not the church down the street, not the big organizations with all their programs and outreaches and dinners and get-togethers and social events. Out of all those things, brother, there's nowhere else we can find the truth of God's eternal word. His word is what? Spirit and life to the believer. It came a time that these disciples here were tested by the word. They were tested by doctrine. Hello now. Is that right? And they went back to the revelation that they had. They went back to that experience. And brother, that's what we need today, so that when we come to that hour of testing, we can go back to that experience. And say, brother, it's not me. It's not somebody that has talked me into it or let me know it's the truth. But God Himself come down to reveal His word to us. Brother, it means something when you have that experience on for yourself. That's your conversion. That's what the Holy Ghost, that's your conversion. Until then, brother, you're not converted. Until you receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that Holy Ghost inside of you then will lead you and guide you into all truth. Brother, people are falling away. People are turning back on Jesus like they did here in His day. And they're going after something else or completely denying that God even exists. Hello? Are going into the world and rejecting God and apostasy. But brother, sister, they, when you come back to it, they lack that experience. Amen. Thank God that to the predestinated children of God. Amen. Those predestinated seeds. No wonder why Jesus stood there that day and said, Father, I thank you that you hid these things from the wise and the prudent. They couldn't receive it. They couldn't understand it. It wasn't for them. Brother Bram said that when you put your hand in your pocket and you pull out a handful of change, there might be pennies, there might be dimes, there might be nickels. A man might only be able to get a penny's worth. That's all he is. Somebody else might get a nickel's worth. Somebody else might get a dime worth. And you might get 25 cents worth. It depends on who you are. It depends who you are and what God has made you to be. But brother, by all means, don't cast them out. Love them and live a life before them that they may know Jesus Christ inside of you. I tell you what, the only God some people may ever meet is the life that you live before them. But brother, how desperately we need that experience. Let me close with this story here in the book of Acts 19. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'll read it to you. But in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, another familiar story we have here about the seven sons of Sibica. And let me just read it to you here. Acts 19:11. And God had wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Amen. A man that at one time persecuted the church. A murderer. Paul was a murderer. Not of just any ordinary people. He was a murderer of the church. Of God's people. Persecuting and murdering them. But praise God that Jesus is still a Savior. By the hands of Paul, many miracles were brought. God had brought miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. And the disease departed from them and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preach. Is that right? Trying to impersonate what the Holy Ghost church was doing. Right? That's not the first time we've seen that spirit, right? I mean, you remember... Is that right? You can go back into the Israel and Moab and we find Cain and Abel. Hello. Amen. We adjure thee in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And watch what happened. And there was there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew of the chief priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Now, could you imagine that? I mean, brother, it scared me to death, to be honest with you. It scared me to death. These people that are possessed with evil spirits brought before me, and I try to cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. And that spirit stand there and laugh at me and say, well, I know Jesus. I've been in His presence before. I know what it's like. I've been cast out by the hand of Paul who had the Holy Ghost. But who are you? You are powerless against me. You can't do nothing. You may say the name of Jesus all you want. You might say the name of Paul all you want. But that has no power unless it's backed up by faith. Brother, the experience is what mattered. They had no experience in the Holy Ghost. They tried to impersonate a God-given gift. And it didn't work. It backfired on them. It backfired so much that the evil spirit said, I don't know who you are. I recognize Jesus, I recognize Paul, but who are you? And what happened, the Bible said that the man in whom the spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They were embarrassed, weren't they? That backfired big time. Uh-oh. What did we get ourselves into? What was the difference? Why could Paul do it, but they couldn't? Because Paul was ordained to do it. Paul had an experience, and Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gave power against unclean spirits. Many people today are trying to battle these unclean spirits in their homes, in their marriages, in their children, and in their family, and in the churches. But they're lacking the conversion of the Holy Ghost. They don't have the power. Brother Bram says they don't have the can't in them yet. He says, you say, I can't live right. I can't go to church. I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. Hello? Don't get too quiet on me now. You're going to make me nervous. I can't go to church. I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. I can't overcome this. I can't live right. I can't live holy. Hello? I can't do what God told me to do. I can't come in my position in the church. I can't come in my position in my marriage and in my family. I can't do it. Of course you can't. Is that right? We try to live this perfect Christian life, but we can't do it. There's only one man that could ever do that. That was Jesus Christ. He's the only man that lived that perfect Christian life. He's the only man that said, love your enemies, and then proved it by his actions when he cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Notice he did that. And Stephen, back there in the book of Acts, filled with the same spirit. The same spirit that was upon Jesus, same spirit upon that deacon of the church, Stephen. And as they stoned him to death, he looked up, beheld the glory of God, Jesus Christ, standing in the right hand. And he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Brother, he had an experience. He had a relationship. He had something that was real. Something that anchored him down into Christ Jesus. And there was no doubt about it. They had power against unclean spirits. Brother Bam told us that's what the Holy Ghost is for. The Holy Ghost is to give us power against unclean spirits. He says it gives us power to preach. Peter was an example of that. Is that right? He might have ran from the Pharisees. He might have denied being a follower of Jesus. Jesus told him that it would happen anyhow. But that time that he got filled with the Holy Ghost and he staggered out there, Brother Bram said, like a drunk man, dug himself out of a ditch, and he stood there before those mockers and said that this is only a manifestation of what Joel had prophesied, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. It gave him power to preach. It gave him boldness. He said the Holy Ghost will give us power to live a clean life. It'll give us power to live right. It'll give us power to love one another. It'll give us power to hold to God's unchanging hand. It'll lead us and guide us into all truth. It'll give us power over the enemy. Amen. Power against the enemy. Power against unclean spirits. Power against false doctrines. It'll keep us. It'll protect us. That's where the Holy Ghost is. It makes the Word of God real to us. It opens up the Word and brings it to life. And it takes it in. It soaks it in. It brings it into our heart to bring us to the point that we become the living Word of God on display. That's what Brother Bam said we ought to be, right? And pick up your pen and write. That we become the living Word of God on display. The Bible said you are written epistles that is read of all men. That they'll know, this world will know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because He's alive in you today. Brother, if you don't have that experience, if you're just believing this tonight because somebody talked you into it, or because you've been raised in it, or because mom and dad follows this message, you need to come down to the altar tonight and find that conversion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That those seeds of God could be born. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Bam says here, let me close with this quote right here. He says here in the message called the seed of discrepancy. He says that the seed of God, the Word of God, the Word is a seed. And every seed will bring forth of its kind. The children of the kingdom, that's us. Amen. The children of the kingdom has become the seed of God. Amen. Then they must be the Word of God. The Word of God manifested in the age that we're living in. For the promised seed of that age. The Word of God. The living Word of God on display. Not a dead Word, a living Word. But we find out that God gave His children His Word for their defense. We have no other defense than the Word of God. That is our defense. He said there's no bomb shelters. There's no hiding places we have like His Word. The Word is our defense. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, which is Christ Jesus. He is our only defense. Bring Him in and we are safe. No wonder why the Bible said there is no condemnation for you that are in Christ Jesus, because you pass from death unto life. The Word of God is your only defense. When you leave the Word, you're leaving that security. God's protection. God's defense for you, soldiers of the cross that are engaged in warfare. Hello? If you didn't realize you're in war, you better wake up and realize the hour in which we're living. We are at war with Satan. And Satan's relentless. He'll come back again and again and again and try to discourage us in any which way he can find. Recognize our enemy tonight and recognize that the Word of God is our defense. Amen. Now remember, the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Remember Paul said, I don't come to you in preaching with enticing words of man's wisdom. But I come to you in a what? A power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. So that your faith would rest not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what it, amen. That's the kind of Word we're talking about tonight. Amen. The Word made known by the Spirit. Now let me hear one more. Now, at the harvest time, he said, now, God, His seed upon the earth, when God sowed His seed upon the earth, He gave it in the hearts of His children, of His family, to keep that Word. And that was their only defense, to keep the Word. The enemy come in, broke the barrier, and started sowing seeds of discrepancy. And the seeds of discrepancy were contrary to the Word of God. Yeah. Right? They were contrary. They began to add. They began to take away. Hello now. They begin to add to the Word of God. It is still the seed of discrepancy. I don't care where it comes from. Where, he said, it might be from an organization, military sources, political power. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God is the seed of discrepancy. Brother, I want to... Amen. Satan uses reasoning, right? He said, cast down reason, imagination, and anything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. And stay with that Word. Amen. Just stay with it. That's our only defense. He says, when a man stands and says he's a gospel preacher and says the days of miracles is past, it's a seed of discrepancy. When a man stands there and says he's a minister, a pastor of a church somewhere, and he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said that it's a seed of discrepancy. When he says miracles are past, the apostolic age is past, he said that's a seed of discrepancy. There's no such thing as divine healing, seed of discrepancy. Right? Adding and taking away, denying God's holy word, it's a seed of discrepancy. Anything that is contrary to the written Word of God or puts any private interpretation to it is a seed of discrepancy. Amen. You must take a lesson. Oh man, you could preach so much more on that. But we'd be here all night. And we don't want to do that because our stomachs are growling. And we want to go. But brother, sister, when Eve began to listen to the devil's reasoning, she began to break down her armor. When she began to pay attention to what the devil began to say. And Brother Bram, in that same message says that the enemy can, Satan can preach the word almost perfectly. Almost perfectly he can preach that word. Brother, in the last days, how many know we're in the last days? In the last days it will become so close, the wrong and the right, the truth and the wheat and the tare. Brother, it'll become so close together in the last day that it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Praise be to God, it's not possible tonight. Praise be to the Lamb of God that He has opened our blinded eyes and led us to the truth of His Word. But do you recognize the seriousness of the hour? There's no more time to play church. There's no more time to fool around in the world. There's no more time to open up yourself to seed of discrepancy. Brother, it's time to make your calling and election sure. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling and make sure your heart is right with God tonight. Brother, if you lack that experience, then you're in a good place tonight. Is that right? Amen. If you're without life, you're without that conversion, why don't we begin to pray and seek the Lord and say, Lord, I need it so desperately that I can't afford to even walk out these doors tonight unless I've come to that experience of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives that makes the Word of God real to us, makes Jesus real, makes everything come alive. That's what it takes tonight. Amen. Oh, brother, can we all stand to our feet tonight? Let the musicians come. Brother, sister, we can't afford to put us off any longer. We can't afford to be wandering stars, wondering if this is right, wondering if that is right. Brother Bannerman, the message of how he said that, why are Christians so tossed about? We're not to be tossed about. We're to be anchored. Amen. The real believer is anchored. The real, genuine believer, they're anchored in God's holy word. Is that right? When the Holy Ghost brings revelation, their revelation is, it dovetails with this word right here. It dovetails with this Bible. It's not some out in the twilight zone somewhere that contradicts His Word. It perfectly dovetails and agrees with His Word. That's what we need. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, that's what we can anchor our faith in. That's what the young people need, the old people, the middle-aged people. Brother, whosoever will, let them come. Is that right? Oh, brother, sister, isn't God so good to us to give us His Word? Amen. I wonder if we could all bow our heads now for just a moment of prayer before I turn the service back over to our brothers here. Let's bow our heads now. If the musicians just play something softly. Amen. No one looking around. No one moving about. But if just humble our hearts before God tonight. And if something tonight might have been said by the Holy Spirit that maybe struck your heart tonight. And you feel that pull. You feel that conviction in your heart. Then just lift up your hand to the Lord tonight and let it be made known by that. Maybe you say, Lord, I need a closer walk with you, Lord. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I need to rededicate and reconsecrate my life to you tonight. Maybe, Lord, I've had questions. I've had confusions and frustrations that have just frustrated me and confused me. But Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me into all truth. Maybe you need the joy of your salvation restored tonight. Whatever the need is, God is here. You say, how do you know He's here tonight, preacher? Because He said He'd be here. Because He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, then I'll be in the midst of them. And not because I said it, not because of anybody that's here or not here, but because Jesus has come tonight to settle all the doubt. Amen. Then just lift your hand up to Him now. And as we begin to pray, why don't you cry out and pray in your own way to God and let your needs be made known and believe tonight that God in His Word said He is able to meet every need according to His riches and glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we humble ourselves before You tonight, we want to give unto You thanks and praises, Lord. We want to tell You how much we love You, Jesus. How thankful we are that You, by Your grace, has brought us out of darkness into Your marvelous light and has opened up our mind, Lord, opened up our understanding to receive Your Word, Lord. Spiritual food in due season. Father, thank You that we've recognized our day and its message, Lord. Father, we think about how the prophet of God said that if we were thoroughly convinced, then we would be concerned. If there was a real conviction and we were convinced, surely we're living in the last moments of time, then there would be that desperation. There would be that concern if our heart is right with God, our families and loved ones, our children, Lord. And I pray tonight, Father, as You see these uplifted hands and You see the need that is behind it tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to search our heart tonight. And as You walk these aisles, Lord, as You sweep over our soul tonight, Lord, may You loosen the chains of the enemy. Lord, may You set the captives free tonight. Lord, may You bring about a liberation, Father, that You would set us free from the doubt and the fear. Lord, we know that fear is of the devil. But we know that perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, we stand in faith tonight as Your children that have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God. And we come against every demonic spirit of Satan. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke you, Satan. You are defeated tonight and we cast you out. We take God at His word and we resist the devil that he may flee from us. Satan, we refuse your box of rattlesnakes tonight. We send it back to where it come from. But we choose to believe the report of the Lamb of God. Lord Jesus, let there come wave after wave of the Holy Ghost that'll lift the heavy burdens tonight off of this shoulder, the shoulders of your people here, Lord. Father, may you begin to search our hearts tonight. Lord, the loved ones, the lost loved ones, our children and our families, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them tonight. And we pray, dear God, that you make a way for them. We know that you are the way maker. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, may all the doubt leave us. May all the fear leave us. May we have faith of a mustard seed that can move mountains, Lord. Father, we put our trust and our faith in you, not because we feel it, but because we believe it tonight, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We give you the thanks and the praises right now. And as even as we leave tonight, we'll continue to praise you. We'll continue to love you. We'll continue to give you all the honor and the glory that you're worthy of. For Lord God, you have done great and mighty things among us. We are heirs and even joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are heirs to the promises of God tonight. And I pray that you begin to open our eyes and our understanding that we may believe it by faith and stand upon those eternal promises in your word, Lord. Father, meet the needs tonight. We ask it for your glory. We ask it all for your honor. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Don't doubt it. Don't give no place, no room to the devil. You walk out of here with that faith and that determination that God is the same as he ever was. That the same Holy Ghost that was there with Paul, that was there with Peter, that Spirit that was upon Jesus. The Bible said if that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. I choose to believe that tonight. I choose to put my faith in the vindicated promises of Almighty God and cast down reason, cast down anything that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. You keep on to that God's unchanging word. Hold to God's unchanging hand and don't ever forget who God called you to be tonight. Amen. God richly bless you, saints. Love you with all my heart. May the Lord be with you tonight. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how God does things? He knew there'd be some Indians out there in Arizona that more than likely would never be able to hear all the white preachers or black preachers or preachers from Philippines or Uganda or Trinidad. So what God do? God raises up right among his own. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate God's mercy? Now what if there was only Apache preachers? And here you live in the hills of Tennessee. But God sent you what you needed. Sent them what they needed. People over in India and China and Japan and around the world. Why? Because he has a bride. And he will see that they get what they need. Now, do you reckon this kind of preaching will put them Apaches in the rapture? I guarantee you. If they live it, it'll put them in the rapture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You Happy Valley folks, you live what you hear preached. Don't worry, it'll put you in. That's right. And if you have to go by the way of the grave, don't worry. It'll get you out. Hallelujah. I've heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about, oh, Saint Cabot, precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and wandered. Everybody now, oh, we've got victory in Jesus.
Again, let's sing it now. We've got victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. Aren't you glad? He sought me and He bought me. Redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew Him. Victory beneath that cleansing. Oh, I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing. How we came to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, victory. We've got victory in Jesus. Oh, forever He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew Him. Oh yes, Lord God. Now let's sing this next verse. Think about it. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I've heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story and some sweet day. Songs of everybody together now. Oh, we've got victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. And He bought me with redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah. And all my love is to Him. To victory beneath that cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I so appreciate His grace and mercy. You realize that every Christian that stands here tonight, in your life, you are a paradox. A paradox is something that is real, but it's something that cannot be explained. And when you are truly born again, you are a paradox. Lord willing, in the morning, I'd like to speak to you on the final paradox. The final paradox. Oh, victory in Jesus. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Forever He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord.